and then share with you the ministry of the Associated Gospel Churches. And to seek to do that, beginning with a Christmas theme, since this is the beginning of Advent. So the title of my presentation would be Restricted Access Ministries. And let me introduce it by saying, recently I attended a Fellowship of Missions gathering in Ohio. There are about 25 mission agencies that gather yearly, and it's about iron sharpening iron and encouraging one another in world evangelism. And at that meeting, there was a presentation by Paul Seeger of Biblical Ministries Worldwide on trends in missions. He gave 10 trends, or maybe just 10 observations. He didn't say whether they were good or bad. He just gave them to us. And I'd like to share four of them with you this morning. First of all, it used to be from the West to the rest. The Western countries of the world sent missionaries out to the world. Now it's from everywhere to everywhere. And the West has diminished in its importance in missions. Now, that's not a bad thing. Really, it's reflective that the West has been successful in its mission of sending missionaries to evangelize the world. And now churches are being built in those places, and they are sending missionaries all across the world. It used to be that it was easy access to the world's nations. But now it's increasingly restricted access. 10 years ago, there were countries we could gain access to that we cannot gain access to today. And 10 years from now, there will be more countries who are restricted in access, and it will be difficult to get into those countries. From donor-supported missionaries, that is, churches and individuals supporting missions, to self-supporting missions. In other words, a person learns a trade and they go to the field and support themselves on the field. And then finally, there's a change from cultural transformation. Now it's moving toward cultural infiltration. And of course, this is related to the second point that I shared. These are trends that we see in missions. And in light of those, I would submit to you this morning that our Savior was born in a restricted access nation. The incarnation took place in a restricted access nation. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we see that Jesus was not wanted in Judea when he was born. The text says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Jesus wasn't wanted in the nation where he was born. But that restricted access nation did not deter his entrance into human history. He came anyways. And in fact, Galatians chapter 4 says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son." So God intentionally sent his Son into the world at the precise moment in human history. And when Jesus came, he was not wanted. He entered a restricted access nation. Secondly, we see in Matthew 2:16, "Then Herod, when he saw he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under." Jesus was hated by his government, and his government sought to kill him. But even this did not deter his coming into our world to save us from our sin. The incarnation took place at a time of great danger for the Lord and his parents. They fled to Egypt, but then they would return and eventually move to Galilee. They returned back to the restricted access nation that they had fled from, and Jesus lived in Galilee. Again, it was the fullness of the time when God sent forth his son. You know, the greatest mission is later seen in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. In his words on his last day on earth, Jesus dispatches his disciples to make disciples everywhere, regardless of the restrictions they would encounter. Matthew 28, 18b to 20. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In this text, we see Christ's power. He possesses the authority to dispatch his disciples to go into the world, regardless of restrictions, and proclaim him as Messiah. Jesus had just conquered death. The disciples saw the power of God in the risen Lord Jesus. He stands before them alive, and he possesses the power and authority to dispatch them to the world on their mission. Christ's plan is make disciples. His course of action is literally going, baptizing, make disciples. Everywhere go and everything teach them. And he says, oh, by the way, I will be with you as you go. Go, and I will go with you. So the one born into a hostile, restricted access nation sends us and goes with us into the restricted access nations that we have been called to reach. The course of action is the biblical priority of witnessing, and we see this in Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here again we see power. Only this power is not authority, it is ability. The one who has the authority to send us gives us the ability to go and do what he has called us to do. The purpose of that power is for us to be a witness, to be a martyr. The martyrs gave testimony of who Christ was, and they willingly died for Christ, even as they bore testimony. And the plan is consecutive and comprehensive. We begin at home, we begin in our city, our county, our state, our nation, and then the world. It's comprehensive. We do not go alone, and we do not go in our own strength. Our Lord dispatches us to go. The New Testament church then, in obedience to the Great Commission, sends missionaries to try to creatively gain entry into restricted access nations, RANs, in order to serve and proclaim Christ. But I would submit to you that here in our own country, there are millions of people who work in restricted access institutions, RAIs, the armed forces, our federal and state prisons, public safety, and the VA. They're all restricted access institutions where millions of people labor. A chaplain has a unique opportunity to serve Christ in these restricted access institutions. And so my brief today is about serving and proclaiming Christ in restricted access institutions. After this I looked, and behold, a great number that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. God is calling unto himself a people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So regardless of your education or your vocation, how will you serve in the greatest mission for all ages? That's the question based upon this text. How can you reach the world? The responsibility belongs to every Christian. Listen, Christian, you have a unique opportunity this month with family and friends as we celebrate Christmas. They all talk about it. They all give gifts about it. You possess the truth of the gospel about Christmas. Look for opportunities to share the true meaning of Christmas with those you encounter this month. Their minds are already thinking about it somewhat. Enlighten them about the truth. The responsibility belongs to you. The ability is graciously given by God. And our government and institutions cannot and do not void our God-given mission. We must obey God rather than man. Technology enables an even greater outreach. We had a presentation not too long ago about spreadtruth.com, the story, the app that can be sent by a phone. That's the harnessing of technology to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the question is, how can we creatively reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can each one of us do it? The mission of the Associated Gospel Churches, rooted in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, and recognized by the federal government as an official ecclesiastical endorsing agency, the AGC exists to represent historic and classic fundamental churches for the purpose of recruiting, endorsing, and supporting ordained men to serve as chaplains, pastors in uniform, in restricted access nations. AGC's mission is about serving and proclaiming Christ in restricted access institutions. And those RAIs often take us into restricted access nations. We have 6 chaplains deployed now in restricted access nations. But the question we must ask, is it possible for chaplains to remain faithful while serving and proclaiming Christ in restricted access institutions? And I would ask you the same question. Is it possible for you to be faithful to Christ, working where you're working, in your home, in the society in which you serve? Can you faithfully serve Christ? Well, I would submit to you that there's federal law that protects the speech and ministry of chaplains. In 2013, Congress passed a law saying that a chaplain's speech and ministry is protected. They cannot be harassed for proclaiming the truth of God's word in the military services. And if that wasn't enough, the year following, in 2014, they expanded that protection, not just to a chaplain's beliefs, but to the expression of his beliefs. So a chaplain's beliefs and ministry is protected as he serves within the United States military services. So the question is not, can a chaplain be faithful to Christ and the Word? The question is, will he be faithful? And my friends, that's the same question that is asked of each one of us where we work and serve today. The AGC enables local church missional access into restricted institutions. The AGC enables Suber Road Baptist Church missional access into restricted access institutions. There are today 105 AGC chaplains making disciples in restricted access institutions all around the world. The institutions where we serve are the United States Army, Army Reserve, and National Guard. And these are AGC chaplains, past and present, who have faithfully proclaimed the gospel in this restricted institution. The United States Navy, Navy Reserve, Merchant Marine Academy, the United States Marine Corps, and the United States Coast Guard. These are the sea services. A Navy chaplain serves in all of them. When you serve in the Coast Guard, you wear a Coast Guard uniform. When you serve in the Marine Corps, you wear a Marine Corps uniform. When you serve in the Navy, you wear a Navy uniform. My wife didn't have any room in the closet for her clothes because I had uniforms from all three services. What a tremendous opportunity to proclaim Christ in the Navy. The United States Air Force, Air Force Reserve, and the Air National Guard. And these are AGC chaplains, past and present, who have faithfully served Christ in that restricted institution. There are some today preparing to serve in military restricted access institutions. These are chaplain candidates. You'll recognize one in the upper right-hand corner, Andy Knupp, who was a member of this church. It takes 9 years to become a military chaplain, an undergraduate degree, a 3-year seminary degree, ordination, and 2 years of pastoral work experience just to qualify to serve on active duty. What a great opportunity they have once they qualify. And chaplains remain accountable to their sending church through the Associated Gospel Churches. In this sense, the AGC is a mission agency representing the local church. The Civil Air Patrol, not a military branch, but pastors serving as chaplains in the Civil Air Patrol, proclaiming the gospel of Christ to those who are in the Civil Air Patrol and teaching cadets even as they serve. Restricted access institutions, federal and state prisons, and correctional facilities. And here are AGC chaplains faithfully serving in our nation's prisons. And what a group of people the world has forgotten. They need Christ, and they need to be taught the scriptures. And praise God for those who are willing to go and do it. Public safety, the VA, police, hospital, and hospice. Our own Pastor Rick serves as a chaplain in the Greer Police Department. Praise God for the access that he has into that restricted institution to be a gospel witness. We praise God for these men who have faithfully served. We also have AGC chaplains who are serving in restricted access institutions and restricted access nations at the same time. I have two chaplains who served on active duty, and God burdened their heart to go to the mission field beyond the military. And so one left the Navy and is now in the South Pacific as a missionary. And every 3 months he flies to Guam and does his reserve duty and then flies back to his real job in a restricted access nation. And the other does as well. So both can serve. They can serve in both places. But military chaplain ministry is really about making disciples. And it can be divided into two broad categories. Chapel-centric ministry, which is much like pastoring a local church, and command-centric ministry, where the chaplain's focus is on a command and its mission rather than upon a chapel. Chapel-centric ministry is nothing more and nothing less than preaching and teaching and worshiping and enabling others to do the same. There are some places in the world where our government sends its troops where there are no churches or very few churches. The Constitution prohibits the government from restricting our men and women in uniform from worshiping God. They are allowed to worship God. And so chaplains are sent with them so that that right is enabled. A chaplain is a pastor in uniform leading a local congregation of believers in a chapel. It is not a local church. It is a chapel, but it is much like a local church in its ministry outreach. You want to talk about access? In Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and Iwakuni, Japan, I was asked to have a radio program, a 5-minute devotional every morning. I didn't ask for the opportunity. The journalists came to me and asked me. And I didn't have time. I was pastoring in two different chapels. I didn't have time to produce 7 devotionals on a Thursday afternoon. So I asked Our Daily Bread if I could use their material. They gave me permission. And on Thursday afternoons for 2.5 hours, I'd take one, take two. And I'd start over and over again. And I'd produce 7. And in the morning at 6 o'clock in Cuba, the national anthem would play, and then the next thing on the radio would be, "Good morning and welcome to Mustard Seeds. I'm your host, Chaplain Steve Brown. Today's Mustard Seed is entitled, Carefully Chosen, and I'll be reading from Ephesians 4:4-11. And then I would read the article, read the text, and leave it with a thought for the day. What a tremendous opportunity in a restricted institution on Armed Forces Radio Television to be able to share the gospel. A chaplain can gain entry to that. Making disciples overseas is often in a hazardous place. This is Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. There were 50,000 landmines on our side of the base. You didn't leave the base. There were no other churches. The gospel was preached in a chapel. The word of God was proclaimed, and people gave their hearts to Christ. And here we see a young sailor publicly professing his faith in Jesus Christ in the Caribbean in front of people at the beach. He wanted them to know that he had trusted Christ as his Savior. All the while, 500 yards from a fence line that separates us from communist Cuba. We had outreach to the ships that pulled into our base. Before there was a Starbucks, there was a Hook Christian Coffee House. And as the sailors came up off the piers, they walked right by the Hook. And our chapel families would be there with meals and Bible studies and ping pong and pool and all kinds of other things. And their goal was to seek to reach these sailors who were on these ships with the gospel of Christ and invite them to their houses on Sunday after the service. We had great outreach to even the ships that were visiting in Guantanamo Bay. What do you do in a chapel? What do you do when you have Presbyterians and Lutherans and Methodists and Church of God and Assembly of God and Baptists, Heinz 57 variety of Baptists in your chapel? What do? You preach the word. You take a text of Scripture and you explain the text of Scripture, and then you seek to apply it to their life. And God the Holy Spirit honors the preaching of his word, and he transforms hearts. You know, when somebody has an argument, the argument is not with me and my opinion. The argument is with what God has said in his word. A chapel is a tremendous opportunity to evangelize and straighten out false teaching. You talk about restricted access. While we were in Iwakuni, Japan, I realized that my children had a testimony in the public school. The principal came to us, and she attended our chapel service, and on the way out, she stopped me one day, and she said, "Chaplain, I just want you to know that it is a pleasure to have your children in our school." And I had to think for a second. I said, "She talking about the same kids I know?" I realized that moment that my kids had a testimony in that public school. And later, there's this thing called Release Time Christian Education. It started here in the Carolinas. And so I approached the principal and I said, "We'd like to teach a Bible doctrines in the Department of Defense Dodd School on base. And is there an hour you can release the kids free to walk a couple of blocks to the chapel?" And she said, "Let me think about it, Chaplain." And she got back with me about a week later, and she said, "Chaplain, we don't have an hour where we can release them, but why don't you come at 7:30 in the morning and you can teach the Bible doctrines class in the school?" You want to talk about access. How many public schools give you the opportunity to share the gospel in a public school? I praise God for opening that door. Spring tent revivals. Partnering with local churches. This is Faith Baptist Church, Zane and Burma Abbott, and my mother-in-law. We didn't have a Sunday evening service because there was a local independent Baptist church right outside the gate, and we partnered with them in the spring tent revival. God greatly blessed the ministry and partnership that we had in Iwakuni, Japan. Here are AGC chaplains preaching and proclaiming the word and baptizing men and women who have trusted Christ all across the United States. A typical chapel congregation. Chris Wallace. We're involved in discipleship of the home. We have access to those who desire to be married. They generally come and see the chaplain first. And we're able to share with them the biblical truth about marriage and how they can have a home that honors God. And here are chaplains establishing homes. But on the flip side, we also are involved in marriage enrichment. And here are AGC chaplains who have led marriage enrichment retreats for 25 couples. The government rents a plush hotel and pays for everything, including the food. And the chaplain just gets on the bus and goes with them. And then he opens the Word of God and teaches them the biblical truth about marriage. Praise God for the opportunity in a restricted access institution. We also have specialized ministry opportunities. Some of our chaplains get training in ethics, and then they're placed at special commands where they teach ethical leadership to our nation's military leaders. Others have a specialization in family life. It ends up with a Master of Science degree, and they're certified in family counseling. Stu Kazarovich is the family life chaplain at Fort Drum, New York. Let me tell you, there's all kinds of broken families that come down to see Stu. And the first thing he does after, he said, "I have the answer to your problem. Would you like me to share it?" And they say yes, and then he opens the Word, and he shares the Word of God with them. And marriages have been saved, and husbands and wives have trusted Christ as a result of that ministry specialization. And then finally, clinical pastoral education, CPE, opens the doors for some of our chaplains to work in hospitals, on staffs. They're involved with post-traumatic stress ministry and all kinds of opportunities. The government pays for all of this education, and our men go and willingly do so to serve, to have the opportunity. Our men also are involved at training commands. Let me tell you something. When an airman or a soldier goes to boot camp, and the drill instructor starts yelling and screaming at them, they begin to evaluate life, sometimes for the very first time in their life. And the question often comes up, what in the world have I gotten myself into? What a tremendous opportunity for a chaplain to answer those questions. And it just so happens that on Sunday morning, the drill instructors give them the opportunity to either go to chapel or stay in the squad bay and spend time with the drill instructor. Well, what do you think most of them do? They want to go somewhere where there's peace and quiet. They want to go somewhere where they're not being yelled and screamed at. What a tremendous opportunity for chaplains to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are beginning to think about what life is about because of the decision they made to serve our country. Here's Steve Sifke at the Air Force Academy. He had a great impact in Air Force officers during his career. This chapel on the right and on the lower is the same chapel, 35 years apart. AGC chaplains serving in both times. Notice, they're both full. When the Word of God is preached, it meets the need of people's heart, and they come back. A building isn't required. Chaplain Denzing, our vice president, has posted his flag at Fort Meade. The Army has this philosophy. It's called hurry up and wait. And they'll get you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they'll get you all set to go, and then they'll just tell you to sit somewhere for 2 hours. Well, Chaplain Benzing sensed he had one of these opportunities, and so he asked the battalion commander, "I want to have a chapel service." He said, "Have at it, chaplain." He posts his flag in the ground, and he calls church call, and a congregation assembles itself. They sing their songs, and he opens the Word of God, and he preaches to them. A building is not necessary to proclaim the truth of God's Word. Some chaplains can share the gospel in a helicopter, underneath a tent in the desert. Here's one of our ranger chaplains, Scott Crosley, who has led a soldier to Christ in Army Ranger training at Fort Benning. That soldier trusted Christ during that training as our chaplain was training with him. And at the end of the training, he said, "Chaplain, I want to publicly profess my faith in Christ. I want to be baptized in the waters where we trained, in the muddy waters where we were trained." And so here's Chaplain Crosley baptizing a new believer in front of his colleagues and other believers as he publicly professes his faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes restricted access takes us into disaster ministry. I deployed as a Coast Guard chaplain to Ground Zero in New York City. I was in the fourth group of seven Coast Guard chaplains who deployed. We had complete access everywhere at Ground Zero. We were involved in the disaster mortuary, DMORT. We escorted the families of those who died in the Twin Towers from the ferry to that stand that overlooked Ground Zero. They were the only people allowed to come and see where their loved one died. We were able to share with them scripture and pray with them and share the gospel with them as God gave us opportunity as we conducted that difficult task. God opened that door. And then unexpected access the following year, we were having our annual Coast Guard meeting in Washington, D.C. The White House had just been opened for tours. And as we were touring the White House, the president got word that we were there. And they mustered us out on the West Lawn staircase. And President Bush came out and spoke with us for 15 minutes. And thanked God for our ministry. And thanked us for our ministry to his troops. And just before he left, we asked if we could pray for him. And here's a picture of about 60 Coast Guard chaplains with their hands on the President of the United States, asking God to bless his leadership. Now that's access, my friends. That's restricted access. That's a door that God opened that I couldn't have imagined God opening. But I praise God for the opportunity. Chaplains prepare their troops for deployment to combat zones. And chaplains also transition their troops out of combat zones back into civilian life. Seabees had to go to Kuwait. They turned in their weapons and their gear, and they had 3 days where they just chilled out so that they could get out of a wartime mindset. And chaplains and others had opportunities to share with them and to try to change that mindset. But perhaps the most important thing that we're known for is combat ministry. This is Chaplain Ron Benzing in Vietnam, on the side of a hill. And he's preaching the gospel to his soldiers. This picture is behind his desk in our office at AGC. Half of the men in this picture died in Vietnam. In fact, out of a battalion of 1,000, Ron conducted 120 memorial services the year he was in Vietnam. And that doesn't include those who were wounded. Notice what his commanding officer said to him. Chaplain, I'm going to contact each soldier and tell him how to survive. I want you to tell him how to die. Now think about what that CO just said to his chaplain. I want you to tell him how to die. And of course, he did. He shared the gospel with countless of them. And there he is on his little pump organ, playing the organ so that crusty old soldiers can sing gospel songs in Vietnam. Let me tell you, all pretensions are set aside when your life is on the line and you realize you may not go home tomorrow. It's all on the line. What a tremendous opportunity to share Christ and the truth of God's word in difficult places. Our chaplains have served in Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm. Here I am in a 500-bed hospital in the northern deserts of Saudi Arabia. I praise God. Most of the Marine casualties of that war came to this hospital, and I was able to provide ministry to those Marines. Here's a young Marine sergeant publicly professing his faith in Jesus Christ in baptism in Saudi Arabia. It's a 3,000-gallon water bladder of water that we use to wash clothes. You back the pickup truck to it, you jump in, you do the ceremony, and he publicly professes his faith, and then you throw a little chlorine in it so that it's okay, and that's how you get baptized in Saudi Arabia, if you're going to get baptized in Saudi Arabia. Now, I wonder how many believers can say they were baptized in Saudi Arabia. I'm telling you, God can open restricted access nations through restricted access institutions. Our chaplains have served in Somalia, in Bosnia and Kosovo, and in Afghanistan. Here are AGC chaplains giving communion to their soldiers, baptizing their soldiers, and preparing for another baptism at Camp Leatherneck in Helmand, Afghanistan. Here are four young men with stockings on December 28th. We had a Christmas Eve candlelight service on December 28th. We couldn't do it on the 24th. We got snowed out. This is Fob Tillman. It's on the Pakistani border. There are about 15 soldiers at this FOB, forward operating base. They have to be able to launch mortar rounds within 5 minutes, anywhere and in any direction. Now you think about the stress they live under, and their whole tour of duty is there on that fence line. When I offered a Christmas Eve candlelight service, you'd have thought I'd given them gold. And we had some leftover stockings. We willingly, on the Afghan-Pakistani border, sang Christmas carols about our Lord Jesus Christ. I praise God for opening that opportunity. Where do the Afghans live in their war-torn country? They live in bombed-out buildings that the Russians built years ago. All around these areas, there are unexploded ordnance shells. And people from the United States send us tons of boxes to help the Afghan people. And we would, once a week, go down and do a community relations project and deliver them clothes and food and other things. And we would explain to them this wasn't from the government. This was from the people of the United States. What a great opportunity to share that we cared about them. God opened the door on my first deployment to Afghanistan to be the chaplain at the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. Every Sunday, I offered a worship service and provided counseling for embassy members. And also the senior NATO command, ISAF, that was there in Kabul as well. Again, access I never imagined. This is a typical worship service in the Marine Memorial Chapel at Camp Leatherneck in Helmand, Afghanistan. A typical worship service on Sunday morning. Over 1,500 people attended our chapel services weekly at Camp Leatherneck. I started a service at 8 o'clock on Saturday night because the colonels couldn't go. By the end of the deployment, there were 90 people attending this service, and contractors from nations all around Afghanistan and from Africa. When I would get up to preach at 20 minutes after 8, I would look at a congregation and I would recognize that it was a congregation from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and it was in a Muslim country in Afghanistan at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. Who'd have thunk it? But God opened the door, and I praise God for opening that door. Here are chaplains praying with their Marines, leading Bible studies. Let me tell you, when a Marine goes out on an IED-infested roads, he doesn't worry about who's praying. He wants somebody to pray for them. And the chaplain has the opportunity to do that. Here are chaplains proclaiming the gospel in Iraq during the war. Easter sunrise service, and again, soldiers being baptized in Iraq, not far from where Abraham walked. Here are our chaplains praying with their troops as they prepare to go out on convoys and other missions. And how do chaplains get around? Well, helicopters, parachutes, Humvees, C-130s. How'd you like to fly in that helicopter in the lower left there? That's Chaplain Hap Struthers, one of our first AGC chaplains, being lowered from a helicopter onto the pitching deck of a destroyer. Now, why in the world would somebody risk their neck to do something like that? Because those sailors need Jesus, and he's willing to do it. The picture above that, he's being highlined across from one ship to the other. The ships are in parallel, moving at the same speed. They shoot a line across, and they pull you across. You better pray the line doesn't break or it's all over. By the way, we don't do these two things anymore. They're dangerous. But Hap Struthers wanted to share the gospel to as many shipmates as he could. Here are Special Forces chaplains. We have one Green Beret chaplain, Mike Smith, who went through Green Beret training 9 months long. The average age of that class he was in was half his age. Why would an old man do that? So that he can gain the opportunity to disciple our nation's most elite special forces. And I praise God for AGC chaplains who have been willing to pay that price in order to have that access. Here are chaplains serving on board ships. You're literally and figuratively stuck on board with them. They're going to know who you really are because you can't disguise who you are on a six-month deployment on a ship. What a great opportunity to be Christ and share Christ. A chaplain can go anywhere on the ship, anywhere. I can establish relationships with anybody. I can get to know who they are, and when there's a crisis in their life, they come to me for help. We also visited missionaries all around South America and in the Mediterranean. That picture in the middle is in Oslo, Norway. Jack Slow pastored that church. I took 15 sailors off my ship, and we attended that service. So you can imagine how shocked I was to see him here when he came here about a year ago. I praise God for the opportunity to show sailors some of God's choicest servants on the mission field serving our Lord Jesus Christ. The word is sufficient to counsel sailors and Marines. The word is always sufficient. The only flag authorized to fly above the U.S. ensign is a chapel pennant. And there you see it in the upper right. When I'm conducting a chapel service, our national ensign is hauled down, the church pennant is placed above it, and it's raised. And when the service is over, then it's hauled down and the church pennant is removed. It tells you something about the founding of our country and the value we placed upon the help of God in so doing. Here are chaplains doing community relations projects in the Philippines and all over the Western Pacific. Here's my wife bringing our daughter home on our second tour in Japan. I praise God he had other reasons for us going to Japan. It was to bring a child that we knew not, who we thank God for. How'd you like to pray on an aircraft carrier with 5,500 people every evening while you're at sea? Every single one of them hear you pray. There's nowhere to hide. You have access to plant the seeds of the gospel. We honor the dead. We bury the dead. One of our chaplains was at the funeral of Tyrone Woods, the retired SEAL that was killed in Benghazi. The gospel was preached at Tyrone Woods' funeral by an AGC chaplain. Here are our chaplains providing ministry to those who have given limbs for our country. I praise God for the opportunity we have to impact their lives. This is Christmas Eve, a sing, on December 24th, 2011. This crowd of people swole to almost 500 at one time as Marines and sailors were singing Christmas carols and remembering the birth of the Lord Jesus. But I close with this. You know, in Afghanistan, we weren't allowed to proselytize. And I prayed for months that God would give us the opportunity to be a gospel witness to the Afghans. Well, the Lord opened that door when my general asked us to have a cultural exchange with the Afghans. He said, I want the choir to sing some Christmas carols, and I want you to tell them what the significance of Christmas is. So the choir, four-part a cappella, sang Christmas carols. And then I got up in a one-page translated text, explained to them the significance of Christ coming into the world to be our Savior. I praise God for opening the door in a restricted access nation by a restricted access institutional chaplain to be able to share the gospel with senior Afghan folks. When I got done with that, the general came up and he grabbed the microphone out of my hand and he looked out at the Afghans. About 50 of them were assembled there. He said, Christ is born! Peace on earth! And he set the microphone down and he went back and he sat at his chair next to the governor of Helmand and the commanding general of the Afghan National Army, 214th Corps. God opened the door for us to share the gospel with them. And I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I just would say to you, brothers and sisters, those who hazard their lives as an occupation to safeguard the freedoms we enjoy in this nation, those men and women are worthy of the unedited, untainted, and unabridged gospel of Jesus Christ, regardless of the restrictions placed upon us as we go. Listen, our Lord Jesus entered a restricted access nation. He was in control. He is sovereign God. And he dispatches us to do the same today. Never be afraid of the wall or the door. Our God is able to open the door and give us opportunities to proclaim who he is to those who need to hear of the gospel of our Savior. May God help us to seize the opportunities that he gives us, even in difficult and in restricted places, especially this Christmas season. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you know no barrier, that no barrier can keep the gospel from going where you've commanded us to take us. But Lord, you've called us to go. You have the authority to send us, but you also give us the ability to go. And so, Lord, may we not be afraid. May we simply trust you and go. Lord, I can't help but think that there's somebody in this room this morning that you're calling to go somewhere, but they're afraid. Oh, Lord, help that one to know that you will go with them. And help that one to know that the best thing they can do is to surrender to your calling for their life. Oh, Lord, be honored in our lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.